Welcome to another C3 Church Rockingham podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au.
All right, let's start in the beginning because God started in the beginning. Amen. And we'll just do a small recap from this morning and then we'll go a bit further this evening. Psalm 115 verses 16 says, "The heaven, even the heavens, belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to the children of men." Amen. And so we've been given the earth. I tell you something, family. We're living in just such amazing times. What God has done for you, I'm going to show you a few scriptures. What God has given to us, it's already done. We just have to walk in it by faith in Jesus' name. And then Revelations 11:15 says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" Which means Christ after... You know, the Bible says in Matthew, Christ has redeemed us from the sin of the world. I can get a hand now. It's fine. Thank you. You just want to play with my ear. But the Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the sin of the world, not the sins of the world. So we have to ask, what is the sin of the world? The sin of the world is what Adam, the high treason Adam committed in the Garden of Eden. Amen. And that's what Galatians says, that Christ had redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. Amen. And so if Christ is the head, and if the head is ruling and reigning, then the body must come through. Amen. Amen. The body must come through. And we saw that in John 9, I think it's 58, where foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Which is speaking about a body, a corporate body that he can download. Amen. We are the body. Yeah. When you look at the purpose for God creating mankind, the purpose for God, God's purpose was he longed for a family. The Bible says he walked with Adam in the cool of the day. Jesus longed for a body. He's the head of a body. Amen. And the purpose, the head is where the wisdom lies. Amen. That's why the Bible says Christ has been made unto us wisdom. And so he wants to release his wisdom. And the Holy Spirit was looking for a temple. And so here we see, he shall reign forever and ever. He'll never be defeated ever again. Which means I will never be defeated. Amen. Yeah. And when I fail, it's not God, it's me. Amen. It's a lack of understanding. It's a lack of wisdom. When there's delay, it's not God, it's me. Because forever he is faithful. Amen. And then we looked at the unity of the spirits. And let me read that scripture. Ephesians 4:3, "Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope of the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all." Amen. And so when you deal with the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit, as we looked at this morning, when you see the wind, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. Amen. And so the unity of the Spirit, you can't see the unity of the Spirit, but you can see the effects of the unity of the Spirit. Amen. You can see when people are engaged. You can see when people are united. Yeah. You can see when people are in oneness. Amen. And so you can see the effects of it. Amen. And so that becomes important for us. Now, let's just look at a few things. Principles of operating in oneness. Number one, we must understand that oneness is a spirit. It's not a strategy. Amen. Meaning this, that there's a mind in this house. And sometimes you first have to tap into the mind. That's why the anointing is first caught and then it's understood. Amen. And so you might not fully understand the mind of the anointing in this house, but if you receive it by faith and as you walk it out by faith, understanding will come. Yeah. Amen. When you teach your child something, they don't understand it. But as they begin the journey of having faith in their parents, trusting their parents, you tell a two-year-old to stand here and jump, what are they going to do? They're going to ask, are you strong enough? Are you sure you don't have oil in your hands? I won't slip through your hands? They're not going to ask the question, amen? They're just going to jump because they trust you, amen? You have to trust God. You have to trust this anointing, amen? And so the Spirit, it's not something, there's no certain strategies, amen? You have to catch this corporate anointing. You have to understand it, that, and as it outworks, understanding will come, amen? And so we must understand that. Then, the second thing is that if you want to operate in oneness, commitment is essential. Commitment is essential. There's two aspects or two levels of commitment. The first level of commitment must be within yourself. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so right there you see that everything you need to become all that God would have you be is locked up on the inside of you. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. The challenge that we have with the church is that we're looking out. The psalmist of old would say, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And there's nothing wrong with that if you understand how to interpret it. But if you don't understand how to interpret it, you'll be looking out as opposed to be looking in. Philemon 1:6, it says there, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And so I had to come to a place where I had to acknowledge that everything that is in that I need to become all that God would have me be is already on the inside of me. Amen. And when I make that commitment to myself, that Mervyn, you have everything that you need to become all that God would have you be. Whatever your dream is, whatever your vision is, you have it all locked up on the inside of you. Regardless of your part, regardless of your journey, regardless of your scripting, regardless of your upbringing, amen. Because as our faces differ, this might be Australia, but some of you have come through some rough journeys, amen. Some of you have come through some difficult seasons. And so we get scripted in a certain way. I believe this. This is my belief. I believe that people that go through some extremely challenging journeys, it's purely because the enemy wants to script your mind so that it can block out what is locked up on the inside of you. And that's why God protected you, and that's why he created you in him to protect you from before the foundations of this world. And so when you see the writings of Paul says, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. Where did that treasure come from? It came from God before the foundations of this world. And so you're going to have to be committed to yourself. I am unstoppable. No circumstance is going to dictate the outcome of my life. When you say those things, those trials come. The pressures come. The stress comes. Sometimes, because you've got a big mouth, Mervyn, sometimes you can't sleep the whole night because the devil is telling me he's going to destroy the church. He's going to destroy my life. He's going to break up the work of God. But I tell you something, family, after you have fought the fight, there's the victory. Amen. And so some of you, like me, we've come through some rough journeys. We've come through some difficult places. Some of you that have been born and brought up in the church have even had it more challenging, amen? Because sometimes the people in the church are more crueler than the people in the world. Hello. I'm telling you, you watch two, what do you call it here, if you're drunk? Is that? You watch two drunk buddies, how they look after one another, how they care for one another, amen? They make sure both can't walk, but they're trying to help one another. Amen. In the church, you get injured. In the church, you mess up. In the church, you make a mistake. The only army that kills off the wounded is the church. Yeah. Amen. But in spite of that, you have to make a commitment to yourself that I will not give up. I will not let go. The promises of God are yes and are amen, and I'm going to come through. Amen. So commitment is essential. But then the second level of commitment, it has to be to where God has planted you. Amen. You're looking for a perfect pastor? This is what I tell our church when we take membership. I say, you're looking for the perfect pastor? Please don't join this church. You're looking for the perfect church? I said, please don't join this church. Because when you join it, you're going to mess it up. Amen. Because there's no perfect churches and there's no perfect pastors. Amen. Our hearts are pure. Our lives are right. Amen. We're not committing sin one time, but we're not perfect. Someone cut in front of you on the freeway. Amen. There's no shanda rakabaseke. There's other words that come out sometimes. Amen. So we're not perfect, but we have a commitment to God. And we have a commitment to the local church. Amen. And we're here to imbibe what God is doing. Because if one can put 1,000 and two can put 10,000, how much more can we do? Amen. And then when we imbibe this oneness, fear is cast out. Because if you can do it for my brother, you can break through. And I know his struggle. And I know his background. And I know where he comes from, God. And if God, you're not a respecter of person, but you're a respecter of principle, then God, I know you can do it for me. God, I know you can break through for me. God, I know if I take the same word, take the same principles, take the same pattern, and if I can apply it the way he applied it, I can get the results. Amen. When we left our church, I said to Michelle, it's so simple. God loves us so much. It's so simple. We just took the pattern that I was taught in my father's house. I was there for 18 years. We just took the blueprint and we duplicated the blueprint. We made some adjustments here and there, minor tweaks. And voila, God has blessed us. God has expanded us. God has increased us. Why? Because we are champions and we're standing on the shoulders of a giant. Amen. And so we have to go to the next level. Amen. And so God will bring you into a corporate anointing where there are sons and daughters that are going through what you maybe have overcome, what you are still going through. And so you must understand that if I can imbibe that anointing and if I can learn from those experiences, amen, there's no room for fear. Because I know that if God can do it for them, God can do it for me. Now let's deal with Zion, amen? Let's deal with Zion. I want to show you the significance of the church this evening, amen? And if I can get through that, that will be phenomenal. So let's start in Psalm 133. The Bible says, and we'll just paraphrase that, it says there, as the dew descended upon the mountains of Zion, he says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And so we see here that there are mountains in Zion. There are mountains, not one mountain. We see that there are mountains in Zion. Amen. And so the first thing I want us to focus on, to understand Psalm 133, let's read Psalm 132. Let's just slow it down. I want you to see the heart of David here. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And if you begin to study it here in Psalm 132, Psalm 133 will make sense to you. Amen. And you'll have a fuller revelation or fuller understanding of Psalm 133. So let's read Psalm 132. It says there, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely, this is his vow. Hey, this is phenomenal. This thing, I tell you, man, I can't sleep. When I read this, I couldn't sleep. It challenged me. Look at this man's vow. Surely, I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, nor slumber to my eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it in Ephrat. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacle. We will worship at his footstool. And so you begin to pick up his heart. I won't sleep. I won't rest. I won't even build my own temple, my own castle, my own house, whatever it is, until I find a resting place for God's anointing, until I find a resting place for God's presence, until I find a resting place where God can tabernacle. Now, on one level, God tabernacles with us. Amen. We are carriers of the presence of God. But let me tell you something, family. When you deal with a corporate anointing is on a whole nother level. Amen. And so David is saying, yeah, the purpose for me wanting God to tabernacle is not only for me, I will benefit, but it's for the people. And when you look at vision builders is not for you. It's for the people. It's for the hurting. It's for those that are lost. Amen. Those that need help. Those that need direction. And so we pick up the heart of David here where he says, I will not build my home. I will not build my temple until there's a resting or a dwelling place for the people. Then he goes and says, arise, O Lord, in thy rest, thou in the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest be clothed in righteousness. What is that? Okay, let me not delay. And thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away thy face from thy anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David. Now, this is amazing. David made an oath first. I will not rest until I find a tabernacle, a dwelling place for God. Look at God's response here. God is saying, yeah, the Lord hath sworn unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of his body will I sit upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. And so God is swearing to David, you've done your part. I see your heart. Now I'm going to show you how I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to bless your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. But that good man paid a price. That good man made sacrifices. That good man went out of his comfort zone. Amen. I said to Pastor Claude, when I look at Dr. Tryon's children, I'm not surprised they're so blessed because I know his journey. I know his sacrifice. There's Auntie Priscilla. They know when they had nothing, when they would boil a pot of beans and have it for Sunday lunch. Amen. I'm talking probably 20, 30 years ago, maybe even longer. But the sacrifice for the house of God and the sacrifice for the people of God. And so when you look at his children today and you see they're blessed and God is using them and there's no shortage in their life, we're not surprised because we understand the sacrifices. Let me tell you something, family. God is no man's debtor. God will bless you. God will bless your family. Amen. But you're going to have to put first things first and sort and see to the house of God. Then he goes on to say, for the Lord has chosen Zion. This is the church. We're speaking about the tabernacle. He had desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. God has chosen Zion to rest in Zion forever. When I see the word forever, there is no end to it. Amen. And so you can say what you want to say. You can think what you want to think. But there is a resting place of God in the church. Amen. Every church is a microcosm of the whole. And within that microcosm, there is a grace, there is an anointing, and there is an ability of God. Amen. God has chosen this vehicle. God has chosen this church to dwell there forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make my horn of David. But the horn of David is the kingly anointing. And so for the kings in the house, it's not only for the priests, amen. For the kings in the house, that's where the horn is going to bud. What does it mean? It means that's where you're going to get strategy. That's where you're going to get wisdom. That's where you're going to get revelation, amen. The horn of David is in the house of God, amen. That's why the Bible says of Jesus, it was his custom to be found in the house of the Lord. Why? Because he came understanding that there's empowerment, that there's revelation, and that there's understanding. Amen. And then he goes and say, there will I make the horn of David bud. I will ordain a lamp of mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame. But upon himself shall his crown flourish. And then we go into Psalm 133 where he says, out of that understanding, for there in Zion, the mountains of the Lord, there I commanded my blessing. And so you must understand the significance of the house. Why do you think there's so much challenges within the local church? Why do you think the church at large, one denomination, 20, 30, sometimes 100 different streams? Amen? Because the enemy understands. The devil knows exactly why he needs to bring discord. He needs to break it down. He needs to bring challenge. Because the enemy operates in the principle, very simple. If I divide, I can conquer them. But when they're united, there's nothing, Genesis 11, there's nothing that they imagine to do that will stop them. Amen. And so first thing, in your family, the foundation of a family is a marriage. Why do you think the enemy is relentless in his attack on your marriage? When we deal with marriage counseling, that's the first thing we zero in on. And we teach the concept of trust formation, where the bridge of your marriage, the stronger the bridge, the more you can handle. Amen. And those heavy gifts can come out. And so we need to understand these concepts so we can become all that God would have us be. Let's look at the church, some prophetic pictures of the church. Joel 2:1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. The purpose for the trumpet is so that we can blow out or echo out announcements, send out decrees. The trumpet must be blown in Zion. And so when you deal with the trumpet, those that are prophetic, those that have a prophetic gift, they are called to issue out decrees. And the Bible says, when you decree a thing, so shall it be established. Yeah. Amen. But God is going to use Zion. The church, God is raising up for a season and a time where the church will be heard. Yeah. Where the church will be respected. Amen. Where God will use the church in a supernatural way. It says there, and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Just make the note, holy mountain. Let all the habitations of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, and it is nigh at hand. And so the day of the Lord is coming, where Zion will be used. Go to Isaiah 62, verse 11. Behold, the Lord had proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, the reward is with him, and his works before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out a city not forsaken. God will not forsake Zion. Why? Because of the grace and the anointing in Zion. If you forsake Zion, you will lose out and you will never come into your fullness. Wow. Amen? Wow. Zechariah 1, so 8 verse 1. It says, again the word of the Lord of hosts came to me saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy. Why would God be jealous of Zion? Because God will be jealous. Why are people jealous of you? Because of the success. Because of the progress. Amen? Yeah. Because, hey, this church is so quiet tonight. I think I should close in prayer and go home now. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor. God is jealous of Zion because when he looks down, he sees what they were designed to operate and perform at. Amen. He begins to see the oneness. He sees the unity. He sees a spirit of excellence. He sees that is my design. I'm so jealous of that. I want to make that church my dwelling place. I want to make that church a place where I can inhabit the people's praises and inhabit the blessings of the people. And so God is saying that, Hebrews 12, New Covenant 22. But ye have come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. We are not serving a dead God. Amen. You saw the three Hebrew boys when Nebuchadnezzar looked and he saw a shadow of a fourth man in the fire. Amen. It was the living God that showed himself strong on their behalf. I tell you something. How do you know God is living in you? How do you know that God is living in you? That's an important question. I know that when I mess up, if I say something stupid or foolish or unwise, then in my spirit, not sin, just sometimes I'll say to Michelle, you look so, let me not use that example because then I'll be sleeping in the dog box. But if I say something unwise, and we all do, yeah. Oh, okay, maybe only me. And I sense, oh, Mervyn, why did you say that? And you know, I have a gift of jesting all the time. And so sometimes I'm always in trouble. But when I go across the line, then I know I messed up. And in my spirit, I feel, oh man, I grieve the Holy Spirit. Oh man, I went over a boundary that I shouldn't have crossed. And I know that I messed up. That's when I know God is living in me. When you come into this house, there's a corporate grace and a corporate anointing. Amen. And if you tuned in, you can tap into that grace. And you know when you leave this house that you met with your God. You know when you leave this house that you connected with your God. You know when you leave this house that God has spoken to you. God has given you direction. It's called the church. Yeah. Revelation 21. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for us. That's the church. I'm telling you, family, we're ready for the head. Because we're the bride. Yeah. We're ready for the head. Yeah. Jesus download. The hidden mysteries of Christ, the hidden secrets, the hidden treasures, the whatever it is, God, we are ready to receive. We are a church that is positioned. But note, it's a church. It's not on your own. It's the church. The Bible says the secret things he has given to his sons, the prophets. Go study the word. He hasn't given to everybody. There are certain mysteries that are locked up in the house. And when you find yourself in the house, there are some challenges you are going through. You don't have to go through those challenges if you can tap into the mind of the anointing in the house. The house is where God resides. Now, we see here that these places are called the mountain of the Lord. Look at a few scriptures here. It says there, Isaiah 11, 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. That's the church. When you are in the house of God, when there is a protection of God in this anointing, and so when you can tap into that corporate mind and that corporate anointing, you find protection within the house, the holy mountain of the Lord. It says, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. But where's that knowledge coming from? It's coming from the house. Yeah. It's coming from the holy hill of God. Amen. And so you want the knowledge of God, you're going to have to sit in the I receive zone. You have to sit, you know the lean. You know the lean. In Africa, we've got the lean, when a man of God comes, because my miracle's in his mouth, amen. And so I'm waiting for that word. I'm waiting for that just one principle, one breakthrough, one word of wisdom. I'm telling you, I'm leaning in and I'm hungry and I'm see how my friend is sitting here. The lean is on, amen, because one word will change your life. Why? The knowledge of God is in the house of God. Isaiah 56:7, it says, even then will I bring to my holy mountain, the church, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Amen. And so we see this house is a house of prayer. The Bible says in James, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person makes tremendous power available, dynamic. And so when my brothers and sisters in the house are praying for me, something is shaking, amen. Something is moving, amen. Why? Because it's the house. They're praying the anointing. They're praying the grace. They're praying the ability of God. Ezekiel puts it this way. He says, for in mine holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them. I tell you something, family. If the world has rejected you, there's a house. There's a people, amen. They will open up their hearts and they will accept you. They will love you. They will serve you, amen. Why? There's a house. It's an anointing. It's designed by God for his people. Ezekiel 43:12, it says, for this is the law of the house. Now, I know a law. When you understand a law will always work. A law is never designed to be broken if you understand how it works. Look at this law of this house. It says there, upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof, round about, shall be most holy. What does that mean? You know, in the old covenant, the tabernacle, the most holy place, was where the presence of God resides. When you go into the presence of God, you can never come out the same. The house of God, the holy mountain of God, the church of God, family. If you come with your faith, if you come with an expectant heart, you can't leave the same. You can't go out the same. God's going to touch you. God's going to speak to you. God's going to, I tell you, you can't be the same. I don't, my friends, when I look at them, the only difference between them, where they are and where I'm at, is because of the house. Because my father prayed upon me. You know, he prays these prayers. Every ounce of grace. Every ounce of anointing. Yeah. Every ounce of wisdom. Yeah. Compounded over 40 years. I give it to Mervyn. How can I miss out on the house of God when I know the heart of my father? When I know that that's the holy place. When I know that I can meet with my God and touch with my God in Jesus' name. Bible, Daniel puts it this way. He says, and he shall plant the tabernacles in his palace between the seas and in his glorious mountain. Planting of the tabernacles is planting of the heavens. I'm telling you, family, heaven must explode in your heart. You must understand that that which God has for you. Is this a mature group? Can I share this? I'm not waiting to get to heaven. The Bible says that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so God is saying the quality that's in heaven, I can experience on earth. So I'm not waiting to go to heaven. In fact, when I make the transition to heaven, I must look and say, but this is the same. The same quality I had on the earth. The same quality I had with my family. The same quality I had with my relationships. Because there's no difference. The same health is the same. That's heavenizing the earth. But I tell you, family, it comes from the house of the Lord. And then you go and you begin to understand the mountains and prophetic pictures like Abraham. Abraham went, the Bible says, Moriah. When he got to Moriah, there were many mountains in Moriah. Amen. And God showed him a particular mountain that he ought to climb. And when Abraham climbed the mountain of Moriah, there are two significant things that happened there. Number one, it was a mountain of sacrifice. I tell you something, family, if you're willing to sacrifice, that second aspect was it became the mountain of supernatural breakthrough. And through that sacrifice, the God changed Abram's name from Abram, exalted father, to Abraham, the father of many nations. That's why Galatians, Paul puts it this way, if you be Christ, then you're Abram's seed. That seed was Isaac on the altar, amen. That's the seed because of his obedience in his ability to give sacrificially. But you begin to look at the outcome of his life. The Bible says when Isaac came of age, Abram gave all to Isaac. But to the sons of the concubines, he gave gifts. So what is the all? Because if I give Chris my all, that means I've got nothing left. But it was not material possession or wealth. He gave Isaac the anointing. Yeah. He gave Isaac the grace. Yeah. He gave Isaac the ability. Amen. Yeah. And so in giving Isaac his all, when Isaac came to a difficult place in his life, believe you me, family, life is one of three, you're in one of three stages. You're either going into something, you're in the middle of something, or you're coming out of something. Amen. Yeah. That's the bottom line. Amen. Yeah. And so you need the grace. You need the anointing. And so Moriah is a mountain of supernatural sacrifice, but supernatural provision. Amen. You go and you look, another example in the Bible of sacrifice of Caleb. You study the lineage of Caleb. Caleb didn't qualify to be part and to receive that assignment. But Caleb goes to Joshua and says, give me that mountain. Yeah. And you study that. Caleb, the furthest thing from his mind was that that which he conquered became his own. And so after he conquered the mountain, Jacob says to him, sorry, Joshua, see my wife, she knows everything, man. Joshua says, that is your inheritance. God has designed the system that he, because the Bible says, and God tested Abraham. The purpose of the test is always for promotion. It's always for promotion, amen. And so God will allow these tests. He'll use the devil and leave the devil, allow the devil, he'll use people. But the purpose of the test is always for promotion. And so let me just show you one or two more mountains and then we'll close. Because these things, these mountains, when you get to the summit of these mountains, that's where the grace is. That's where the anointing is. The mountain of Abraham, Mount Sinai. We understand when Abraham met with God, it was a mountain of instruction, a mountain of revelation, a mountain of understanding the oracles of Christ. Amen. But you know what, family? When you study that, Moses had a desire to see God. And God, on the mountain, the Bible says, God revealed the hind of God, the back of God. And that back of God speaks of a receding glory. Amen? Yeah. We don't live in that dispensation. Yeah. We live in a new covenant. Yeah. And the Bible says, when it comes to our dispensation and what God has for us, let me get the scripture. God has revealed the face of Jesus to us. Yeah. And so, as wonderful as Moses got instruction and direction, there's so much more revelation for you on the mount, but you're going to have to climb these mountains. Now, you know, Paul said finally, and then he wrote a few more books. So we say finally, last closing, but we're just about done now. Some mountains you can climb on your own. Those mountains they won't bring great success, won't be great significance. But there are certain mountains you need a guide. The devil will never allow you to summit certain mountains with such great grace and such great anointing. He's designed it that you need a guide. You want to summit Mount Everest and you go on your own? Someone rather wait for a box on the other side. Amen? There are certain mountains because of the great grace and the great anointing that's there. You're going to have to understand that there's a corporate mind. This is a kingdom of oneness. And I tell you something, family, don't ever get to the end of your life and look back with the eyes of regret. Yeah. Deal with the deficiencies. Deal with your past. Get into this thing. Amen. You want perfect people? You're not going to find them. You must overcome. You must grow up. You must deal with these issues. Amen. And if you overcome them and you can tap into that corporate mind, I tell you something, family, you will look back with the eyes of fulfillment. You'll look back with the eyes of accomplishment. You'll look back knowing that God, it's because of you and only you that you've connected me in this corporate house where there's such great grace and such great anointing that we can have an influence on the kingdom of God. Change families, change communities, change people, amen, and live and be all that God has called me to be in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, sir.
This is the end of the podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au or call us on 9524 5055.